offer your sacrifice. Christ the Lamb has saved the sheep. Christ the Just One paid the price, reconciling sinners to the Father. Death and life fought bitterly for this wondrous victory. The Lord of life who died reigns glorified. O Mary, come and say, what you saw at break of day, the empty tomb of my living Lord. I saw Jesus risen and adored. Bright angels testified, shroud and grave close side by side. Yes, Christ, my hope, rose gloriously. He goes before you into Galilee. Share the good news, sing joyfully. His death is victory. Lord Jesus, Victor King, show us mercy. Amen. Alleluia.
Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you,
the disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way, and how they had come to recognize him in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. Then he said to them, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to the understanding of the scriptures. And he said to them, Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all these things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout the days of the Easter Octave, the Church wants to help bring us deeper day by day into the transformation that Christ wants to bring about in us as he seeks to bring us into communion with him, risen from the dead. We see that all of the appearances and the transformation that happened that first Easter follow a pattern. First pattern is total incredulity. Nobody seemed to want to accept the truth that Jesus had risen from the dead. And then Jesus appears to them, and he begins to reason with them. He begins to show them the evidence. He begins to carry them through a journey anew in the Scriptures so that they'd see that what they thought had contradicted their hopes actually confirmed their hopes. The third step was that they came to faith. They accepted it. And then the fourth step was Jesus would give him a mission to go bring this news, this reality, this new life to others. We saw that transformation happen with Mary Magdalene. Saw that transformation happen with Peter and John. We saw that transformation happen with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Today we see it with all of the disciples here. They're doubting. They're listening to Cleopas and the other disciple from Emmaus recount the deeds and how Jesus was made known, as we heard yesterday. While they were still discussing it, Jesus appeared and said, Peace be with you. And their first reaction was not, Your words are true, finally, we've been waiting for these last 3 days. What took you so long? We were absolutely confident that to the letter, you were going to be coming in. Just the crucifixion was just a tiny little detail. No, they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. No matter how much Jesus had prepared them over 3 years, they just couldn't buy it. It was too much for them to handle in their own finite minds, their own limited hearts, their own experience over the course of their life. They just couldn't initially accept it. And so Jesus upbraided them. Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise? Not in your heads, not in your lips, but in your heart. Yesterday, we noticed that same detail from St. Luke, that Jesus, when he was walking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, began to open up their hearts to the understanding of the Scriptures, because it was their heart which was the larger problem. Jesus, we spoke a little bit about over the weekend, wanted to give us a heart transplant from a slowness of heart to believe to a burning heart. So Jesus was focused there on their willingness, in a sense, to accept the truth, because that was the bigger obstacle. Why do questions arise in your hearts? Why don't you want this to be true? And once he had opened up their hearts, then he could get to their minds. And so he said, Look at my hands and my feet, that it is really I. Touch me and see, because a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. We believe they did approach and touched him. What would have that touch been like? Probing Jesus' own wounds, entering into his risen body. To emphasize the point, Jesus said, you know, it might seem like a little detail, but frankly, sisters, it's controversial among theologians, and it never should be. Jesus asked for some fish to eat so that they could see that he had a real body. There are many theologians who try to posit that their own ideas of what's possible for a spiritual body said that this really didn't happen. It was just a sort of detail despite the historicity of the gospel. No, Jesus really, really ate the fish. I was thrown out of an exam once in Rome because I insisted on the historicity of the gospels on this scene. We've got to take Jesus' risen body seriously. That it really is his risen body. We're going to see the applications in a second. And they came to faith. As Jesus explained to them the words he spoke to them while he was still with them, that everything in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Like with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he took on a very long liturgy of the word. Probably started with Adam and the new Adam, got to Abraham and the various details in the life of Abraham, especially Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac applied to Jesus. The Exodus applied to Jesus. Moses' words that another prophet would come applied to Jesus. Abel applied to Jesus. And all the way through. And that's when their minds were open to understand the scriptures. They couldn't stand under them before. They couldn't see the real connections. They couldn't see how it fit together. But now it was all coming to its fruition, to its total application in Jesus. And then there was one last saying. Thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer. All that we pondered during those seven last words on Friday, all of it was about him, and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Those four great prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, who said that the light of Christ's forgiveness would go not just to the extent of Jewish and Israeli borders, but to all the world, that would actually be fulfilled. You, he concluded, are witnesses of these things. And so Jesus wanted to make them witnesses of the forgiveness, the mercy he had brought into the world, but also how he had triumphed over sin and what sin leads to death, that they were living icons of risen life, of the newness of life that is the Christian life, when we are in communion with Jesus risen from the dead. We see an example of this in St. Peter in today's first reading as he continues to give witness to the power of Jesus' resurrection. Yesterday we know in the name of Jesus, he healed the crippled man at the beautiful gate. He gave Jesus risen from the dead, which is so much more than all the silver and the gold in the world. He gave the power of his resurrection and made him stand. And then everybody else was struck with incredulity. They couldn't believe that these simple, heavily accented Galilean fishermen could do anything. They couldn't really even believe, despite what their eyes told them, that this man that everybody used to pass as they would go up to the temple, because this was the main gate, the beautiful gate, the big ceremonial entrance, they all saw him there. They all knew he was a cripple, and now he was standing. And they were, in a sense, amazed at this because they couldn't come up with some type of pseudo-explanation to be able to understand it beyond the obvious explanation that there was a miracle through these Galilean fishermen. They were trying every other possible explanation except that what evidently happened, happened. The children of Israel, Peter, evincing the life risen from the dead of Jesus, said to them, "Why are you amazed at this? Why do you look so intently at us? As if we had made him walk by our own power or piety. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, And he goes through a whole history of how they had rejected Jesus. The author of life he put to death. But, it's one of the greatest adversative conjunctions in all of history. But, God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Not that just we saw him risen, but we are personal icons of that risen life. And by faith in his name, power of his name, power of Jesus, the name signifies the person in biblical understanding. By faith in Jesus risen from the dead, not just in a sound, not just in an appellative, this man, whom you see and know, has been made strong. And the faith that comes through it is given him perfect health in the presence of you all. Then learning from Jesus' first word on the cross, he says, I know he acted out of ignorance just as your leaders did. But it was through this that God brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of the prophet, that Christ would suffer. You can see almost a direct parallelism, that once Jesus had unlocked their slow hearts to the understanding of the scriptures, Peter really grasped it, how all of it had to have happened. And he, even though he was never a doctoral candidate, was able to pass that knowledge of the scriptures on by his own warm heart that could warm other hearts. And then there was the action item, as there always is for Peter. It's one of the most beautiful things whenever Peter preaches. You always know what the action God is asking is. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins be wiped away, that the Lord may grant you this time of refreshment and send you the Christ already appointed for you. God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. And that blessing would happen through the risen life of Christ radiating through his church, in this case, Peter and the other apostles. This dramatic transformation of four steps, from incredulity to the encounter with Jesus to faith to mission. So where does that leave us? Let's start honestly for a second. We know, and we wouldn't be here if we disbelieved in Jesus' resurrection. We believe that. It's no longer a shock to us. Even if Jesus himself were to come to us and appear and speak to us like I'm speaking to you now, I don't think we'd have much hesitation to be able to accept that it's really he. Because we have faith. That's why we give up what we give up, to follow him in the radical way that we do. But where I see almost all of us in the Christian life, in the priesthood and religious life, could receive God's help is in truly believing the transformative reality that Easter's supposed to have in our life. You know, we saw yesterday in the healing of that crippled man just a really small image of what's supposed to happen to us in Easter. This man hadn't walked forever. He was healed. He received the power of the risen Jesus. And then he just starts jumping up and down for the amazement of all. And that's just a tiny little thing compared to the spiritual consequences of Jesus' resurrection in our life. And every Easter we have a chance to renew that and to open up our hearts and our minds to this reality. So the power of Easter is such that it can make us a saint today. It has the ability to burn away the old Adam and the old Eve in us, and to bring us into total communion with the new Adam and the new Eve. That all our problems, all our frustrations, all our, no matter how big they are, petty issues that sort of keep us down and keep us looking backward, they can all be obliterated by the power of Jesus' resurrection in us. Many times we don't believe in that reality, that our communion with Jesus risen from the dead is that consequential. So that's why Jesus continues to come to us, just like he did to the first disciples. He said, "Peace be with you, it is really I. Touch me and see." He wants to open up our hearts and minds to the fullness of the Scriptures, that we will become true witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, that others in seeing us are supposed to see somebody risen from the dead. It was funny, when I was leaving the villa the other day, I had a chance to pray about it a little bit. I had a dialogue with Sister Veronica. Madeline, you're one of the postulants. And Sister said, "You know, Father, you look absolutely radiant." And I said, "Thank you. You do too." And she says, "No, I'm serious." And I said, "So am I." But Madeline then said, "I think it is because you've just been such a spiritual father over these days." And I joked. And it's just like, no, I've been spiritually mothered by 100 spiritual moms. And so that doesn't leave me unchanged. And, you know, we started to joke. But, you know, I just said, "Listen, it's Easter. It's Easter. There's supposed to be a transformation in us. And that's just a small little thing. We are, in a sense, supposed to be radiant, that Jesus is risen from the dead for real. And he's come to us, and we're about to touch him just as truly as the apostles did in the upper room. And we're going to receive something even greater than they did on that Easter Sunday, when he's going to literally come inside of us with his risen life. And that has the power to make us true icons, to do something far greater in us than the miracle of the crippled man. And the only thing that stops it is a slowness of heart to believe not only all that the prophets have foretold, but that all Jesus and the apostles have told us about the meaning of this. That we have entered into Christ's death. We have been crucified with him, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Father, we too might experience new life. That our life is now a life for Christ in God. And it's with Christ and the power of the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus comes to us today just as much as he entered that upper room, to confirm in us this reality and lead us on this exodus to faith, so that at the very end of this Mass, he might not only say to us, "You are witnesses of these things," but command us to go in peace, to announce this gospel to a world, not just with our words, but as Peter did, as a living icon, with the power of the name of Jesus active in us, that has the power to lift up a fallen world. O Christ, Victor King, have mercy.